produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we look forward to this time to visit with you about a timely topic. As we are recording this message, we are actually on Sunday, September 11th, 2022, the 21st anniversary of that horrific day of the terrorist attacks on America with the Twin Towers, Pentagon, and the flight that landed and crashed in Pennsylvania. I'm sure all of us who were alive at the time and old enough to remember those events, they are still vividly embedded in our memories because we had never seen anything like that or experienced anything like that. And so vividly to see it in real time on our TVs. Now, I'm sure the folks in the early 1940s when Pearl Harbor was attacked, have vivid memories of that experience. But I don't think their awareness or vivid seeing it comes even close to what we experienced on September 11th, 2001. So I'd like to share some thoughts about that event and the events around that, as well as the impact that that had for many of us and for our families and what it has meant for us as a nation and as a people coming through these 21 years since. Came across this remembrance some days ago. It says, last night, 21 years ago, 246 people went to sleep in preparation for their morning flight. 2,606 people went to sleep in preparation for work in the morning. 343 firefighters went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift. 60 police officers went to sleep in preparation for morning patrol. Paramedics went to sleep in preparation for the morning shift of saving lives. None of them saw past 10:28 a.m. on September 11, 2001. In one single moment, life may never be the same. So maybe we should be mindful that as we live and enjoy the breaths we take today and tonight, before we go to sleep in preparation for our lives tomorrow, let us give a hug and a kiss to the ones we love, snuggle a little tighter, and never take one second of our lives for granted. Never forget. This past week, we attended the funeral of our son's former wife's father. And it was a tender funeral service. And it was pause for reflection for all of us as to a man who'd lived a full and rich life and who had struggled with the ravages of cancer for many, many years. But we learned a lot about him during that service, and it reminded me that a life well lived with family and friends makes all the difference. And so we learned a lot that day as we listened to people who shared unique and in many instances funny experiences that they had had with this good man. Our two granddaughters, who were his granddaughters, were there, along with other family as well, obviously. And so we are mindful of their loss and the need for them to be sustained and supported as part of our family. Thinking back on September 11, 2001, I still remember that morning. I had received a phone call. And I was talking to an individual when called and said, "Hey, turn on your TV. There's something going on in New York." And I remember turning on the TV, and I saw one of the twin tires with smoke coming out of it. And the Today Show was on. And Matt Lauer, I believe, and Katie Couric were talking, and they had Tom Brokaw on, and they were commenting about what a singular tragedy and surprising event to have an airplane run into one of the twin tires. And as they were talking, I noticed a little blip on the screen as something crashed into the other tower. And immediately it came to my thinking, was that another airplane? And the TV commentators continued talking for a few moments, and then all of a sudden they stopped and they realized there was a second plane that had hit. And we all knew right then and there that this was not just some random accident that had occurred. So I still vividly remember seeing in real time when at 9:02 a.m. Eastern Flight 175 crashed into the south face of the South Tower of the World Trade Center between floors 77 and 85. Needless to say, I remained glued to my TV throughout the day, and I experienced a broad range of emotions, horror, shock, grief, bewilderment, fear, and yes, even anger. In the days that followed, it was heartwarming to see our nation come together in amazing unity. I'd like to share some quotes below that give added perspective of what 9/11 should mean and can mean for each of us. From the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, who stepped in and did many, many amazing things that day, he says, quote, "The attacks of September 11th were intended to break our spirit. Instead, we have emerged stronger and more unified. We feel renewed devotion to the principles of political, economic, and religious freedom, the rule of law, and respect for human life. We are more determined than ever to live our lives in freedom," close quote. Sandy Dahl, wife of Flight 93 pilot Jason Dahl, said, "If we learn nothing else from this tragedy, we learn that life is short and there is no time for hate," close quote. Deepak Chopra said, quote, "For me and my family personally, September 11th was a reminder that life is fleeting, impermanent, and uncertain. Therefore, we must make use of every moment and nurture it with affection, tenderness, beauty, creativity, and laughter," close quote. And a Tennessee senator at the time, Lamar Alexander, said, quote, "September 11th is one of the worst days, but it brought out the best in us. It unified us as a country and showed our charitable instincts and reminded us of what we stood for and stand for." President at the time, George W. Bush, said many things, but here's one of his quotes. "Yet for the United States of America, there will be no forgetting September the 11th. We will remember every rescuer who died in honor. We will remember every family that lives in grief. We will remember the fire and ash, the last phone calls, the funerals of the children," close quote. He also said, "Now we have inscribed a new memory alongside those others. It's a memory of tragedy and shock, of loss and mourning. But not only of loss and mourning, it's also a memory of bravery and self-sacrifice and the love that lays down its life for a friend even a friend whose name it never knew, close quote. Senator Bill Frist said, September 11th impressed upon us that life is a precious gift. And I think we all have a duty to devote at least a small portion of our daily lives to ensuring that neither America nor the world ever forgets September 11th. So, as we vividly are reminded each year on the anniversary of September 11th, we recognize through the various memorial services and events the names being read of those who perished on that fateful day. Much has happened in the 21 years since. In 2009, the Corporation for National and Community Service, Congress, designated September 11th as a National Day of Service and Remembrance. And this was passed under bipartisan support as a federal law. Since September 11th, millions of Americans have come together with a common purpose to honor 9/11 and commemorate the tragedy through volunteer service. So volunteerism certainly has a great place in how we can remember and serve our communities. I remember well that in the early morning hours following the events of 9/11, as I was watching TV, I saw a news feed, and at the bottom of the screen, there was indication of what the reaction of the German people. And immediately, my thinking started to focus on our youngest son, Ronald, who at the time was serving as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Germany-Berlin mission. He was living in Berlin, and actually his apartment was not far from the U.S. Embassy. He indicated that the day of 9/11, as he and his missionary companion were walking toward their apartment, they happened to notice that down the road where the embassy, U.S. Embassy was, there was a lot of commotion, there were armored vehicles, there was some military presence, and they were somewhat puzzled as what was going on, and so they walked a little bit in that direction. And the news person saw them and immediately came over and said, "Are you all Americans?" To which they answered, "Yes." And he asked them, "What do you think of the events that have occurred today?" And not watching TV or being aware of current events, focusing on their missionary work, they, of course, had no idea what had happened. And, of course, he explained to them the events of what had transpired. It impacted our son significantly, and we learned some time after the events of 9/11 that through correspondence and letters and the like, he had been impressed to suggest to his missionary leadership that the missionary should go to the U.S. Embassy and gather together and sing religious songs, hymns, if you will, and patriotic songs, which they did. And they were well received by the German public and the German press. Everyone they met expressed their sincere condolences and were very supportive. The news media there gave significant coverage to this spontaneous event. And so we were proud of our son for having been inspired to suggest such an event, and the impact of it was very positive for them and for those who witnessed it. Many of us know a former football player by the name of Tim Tebow. As remember those who lost their lives on September 11th and since, may we be mindful of how precious each life is and be aware of our opportunities and to love and serve others. He gave the following quote. There are two dates, the date you were born and the date you die. What really matters is the dash in between. It's not about what you have, it's about the lives you impact. So the day we were born and the day we die, while significant, it's that dash in between that he says that's really important. So, here we are 21 years past 9/11, 2001. This week is an anniversary of sorts for me in a very unique way. On September 9th, 2001, I was sustained, ordained, and set apart as a bishop and called to serve in the Memphis First Ward in the Memphis, Tennessee North Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, we had joined the church 26 years earlier in Louisville, Kentucky, and it had been my privilege to serve in many callings during the intervening years, which provided numerous growth experiences both in church leadership and testimony building. In hindsight, I am so very grateful for the path of preparation provided by the Lord. On the Tuesday following Labor Day, the stake executive secretary had phoned me asking if both my wife and I could meet with the stake president that evening. I had just spent a good portion of the preceding Sunday with our stake president, attending an out-of-town conference. Together, we had had ample opportunity to visit, but nothing was mentioned. And so as I pondered why the stake president wanted to meet, I received an intense impression, if you will, a prompting of the Spirit, that I needed to be prepared to recommend names for two bishopric counselors when we met with the stake president. That evening, Rita and I met with our stake president, Timothy Taylor. And on that evening, September 4th, he extended the call to me to serve as the bishop. While one should never seek callings in the church, I must admit that while I was truly humbled to serve, I felt a deep sense of reassurance that this calling was from the Lord and that with his help, I would do my best to serve with all my heart, mind, and soul. The following Sunday, September 9th, after a very special sacrament meeting or worship service, which was filled with tender testimonies, the stake president set us apart. Afterwards, our two bishopric counselors, Brother Jeff Brereton and Tim Brumley and myself, met privately with our wives where we gave each a priesthood blessing. The feeling of unity of purpose and devotion was wonderful. One might say, all in all, this day was quite remarkable and definitely memorable. Interestingly, though, just 2 days later, the grave and horrific events of 9/11 occurred on that Tuesday. We were scheduled to have our weekly youth activities that evening. For prayerful consideration, it was determined that we would not meet so that our youth could be with their families. I felt impressed that we didn't get the need to reach out to our members. So after consulting together as a bishopric, it was decided to have our home and visiting teachers contact our entire membership, asking specific questions and offering words of encouragement, specifically to inquire how they were doing and if they had any family or friends impacted by the 9/11 tragedy. Secondly, to encourage them to have prayer together on behalf of those affected, as well as our national leaders. And thirdly, to encourage them to render service to provide relief, such as donating blood or other acts of service. Throughout the evening, I received periodic updates from the Relief Society president, as well as the Elders Quorum president and the High Priest group leader regarding the calling progress. Amazingly, later that night, the Relief Society president advised me that every single Relief Society sister that had a phone number had been contacted. Sweet and tender stories were shared of how appreciative for the calls that had been given and received by so many, many of whom had not been active in church for years. Needless to say, the memory of the events of that week 21 years ago, are forever deeply implanted in my heart, mind, and soul. One might say a rather unique first week as a bishop. In reflecting on the over 6 years of service as the Memphis First Ward Bishop, I am so grateful for the extra mile efforts by so many of our members as they served others with such devotion, as well as the dedicated missionaries who labored so valiantly to bring souls unto Christ. I will be eternally grateful for Heavenly Father's support, inspiration, and loving guidance, as well as the countless tender mercies of the Lord. A little bit about a bishop in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A bishop is the leader of a local congregation known as a ward, with duties similar to those of a pastor, priest, or rabbi. Position of bishop is unpaid. The calling of bishop is unlike any other in the church. Bishop has five principal responsibilities. He is the presiding high priest in the congregation or ward. He is president of the Aaronic priesthood. He is a common judge in Israel. He coordinates the work of salvation and exaltation, including for those in need. He oversees records, finances, and the use of the church meeting house. Each bishop is assisted by two counselors. Together, this bishopric oversees the spiritual and social needs of their ward members. The bishop helps each member of his congregation in their efforts to follow Jesus Christ. In addition to spiritual matters, a bishop helps members who are struggling financially or in other ways to help them to become self-reliant through welfare assistance. A bishop also oversees practical matters such as records, reports, finances, and the upkeep and maintenance of the meeting house where the members meet. Bishops typically serve for about 5 years. They report to a stake president, and these two local leaders have a significant amount of local autonomy to make decisions regarding the members and their wards and stakes. A little footnote to this. On December 30th, 2007, as a result of a change in the congregation or ward boundaries, I was released as the bishop of the Memphis First Ward. I still remain as an ordained bishop in the church, but I was released from the calling of bishop to serve specifically in the ward. On that day and many times since, I've reflected on the concluding remarks by the prophet of the church at the time, President Gordon B. Hinckley, who at the June 19, 2004 World Wide Leadership Training Meeting, entitled to the bishops of the church, there's a statement in part that was given by him that reads as follows. Now, my dear brethren, may heaven smile upon you. This is a strenuous season in your lives, but there is great joy and satisfaction also. The time will come when you will be released, and at that time, a deep and poignant sadness will come into your hearts. You will release them. You will be released then, and know that the Lord has been with you, that you have had a rich and wonderful experience, that you have experienced your natural capacity, that you have exceeded your natural capacity because of the Lord's help, and that this was one of the most joyous experiences of your entire life. President Hinckley goes on to say, I repeat, I extend to you my love. How I love the bishops of this church. I leave you my blessing and prayers that you may be strengthened for the work, and that because of this strengthening, you will grow as you have never grown before. Well, I can truly testify that those words that he shared with us in 2004 impacted me then, but even more so since then. And I can testify that I truly know that much was accomplished during that 6.5 years as a bishop that definitely exceeded my natural capacity because of the Lord's help. I wish to testify that I know that all of us have the ability to serve others, to have an impact and to encourage others, to strengthen others, to stand by others and comfort them in times of need. And I testify that we can do more, that we should do more, that we can do more, and that we will do more. Is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.